Blog Talk Radio.
Dicen. Vivo de tres animales que quiero como a mi vida. Con ellos gano dinero y ni les compro comida. Son animales muy finos. Mi perico, mi gallo y mi chiva. Que tuve dinero y no niego que fui pobre, tampoco que fui burrero, ahora soy un gran señor. Mis mascotas codician los vuelos.
Traigo cerquita la muerte, pero no me sé rajar. Sé que me está gustando. Well, I'm over here tripping, man. True Talk Radio, episode 123. Doing it live from the homie Montano's crib. Had a little mix up, but we're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep pushing, man. Shout out to Mr. Tuesday, the original Tuesday, Mr. Sean Hicks, man, for the love, man, all the way at his job, man. We appreciate that, homie and homie Montano. Kind of rusty, man. We was rusty like Rigondeaux, rusty like Salido. Hey, but we're right back, man, because kind of like Salido, man, where he said he retired, but he came right back a couple days. That's us, man, on the fuck-up tip. We took a little break, but we're right back at it. And it's a great thing, man. It's a great thing in the sport of boxing. I love it. We're dedicated to the sport, always will be. I had this conversation with the homie Robert Reyes where we'll talk boxing. Montano's the only dude you'll know that will buy a ticket to a fight and write a wrap-up for a fight. Five-fight card, you know what I mean? But it's all love because it's all boxing all the time. And what's real will always come to light. What's true will always be known. Just keep it moving. A lot of stuff happening in the sport of boxing, man. We got a lot to cover, from Miguel Cotto's retirement to the fights that have happened to the fights that are going to happen this week and in the going on into 2018. You got Spence versus Peterson. You got Lucas Matisse going to be fighting for the WBA title. You got Superfly 2 announced. You got so much stuff going on. You got cards for tomorrow. You got fights. But more than anything, man, I'm just glad to be back representing True Boxing Heads, True Talk Radio, episode 123, doing it live from the homie Montano's house. And we're going to do it live like that.
Yeah, it's 2017 is coming to an end this weekend. Got a triple header coming up. Plenty of fights starting since January 2007 of this year. It's been a great year. A lot of top matchups. A lot of fights that were made that sometimes we didn't think would get made. So it might be a little bit of a sign of business changing within the industry. A lot of cool stuff going on this past weekend and a couple of weekends prior. It's fight games have really been moving on locally, nationally. And worldwide, a lot of good stuff going on in the boxing game. I'll just be happy to talk about it.
Now, this ain't the end of year. This ain't the wrap-up show. This is just to get back, throw that jab, get to the work, the 1-2 show. 2017 started off blazing hot, took a little dive, but it's right back up there. And then I think Montano brings a good point, makes a good point as far as 2018. It could lead to bigger, better things. Obviously, boxing fans are always going to have something to bitch about, something to complain about, and that's one thing I will always say. But he kind of alluded to how we're going out with a bang here, because this week, man, you got Billy Joe Saunders versus David Lemieux from Quebec, Canada. We're fighting for Saunders' WBO title grudge match. We've been tweeting, we've been texting, we've been Instagramming. Bad blood between those guys. Similar to that Oscar De La Hoya, Fernando Vargas, you know, that bad blood, that type of bad blood. Like, I want to fuck you up. You know, you've seen the talks, Twitter, Instagram, you've seen it. If you follow us, you already know. We're going to talk about that a little bit. One thing I want to talk about is Antoine Dulles, man, stepping up. Kid came up on Showbox. Kid was a prospect. He ran into some problems, ran into a real fighter and lost. But since he's lost, man, he's proven that he's a real guy. He's a true fighting back, bouncing back. He's taking on a solid veteran in a big stage, Gary Spike O'Sullivan, as the co-main event to the Saunders versus Lemieux. And, you know, if he wins that fight, he's making his HBO debut. Again, he came up on Showbox. Now he joins the middleweight division, where it's a heavy, heavy division, and a lot of things can happen. You got Cletus Seldon fighting on the card as well. The Hammer coming right back. Fights under Star Boxing. Joel DeGuardia had that successful HBO debut on the Danny Jacobs, Luis Arias card. And that's what it is, man. Big thing I'm going to dive into, and then we'll keep it pushing like that. You know, live from North Beverly Hills, man. North Side, Fort Worth, Texas, man. From the good side of Hazel Avenue. I'm joking. For anybody that knows, y'all already know we're from Fort Worth, but we all over. But I want to touch on a few things. You know, some news. Rest in peace, Cesar Diaz, young fighter out of California, tragically died in a car accident, man, and goes to show you that anything can happen anytime, man. Take life. Don't take it for granted. Love your people. Show love to your people, to your real people, and just keep it moving, man, because anything can happen, man. A young kid, prospect, he had just fought in Arizona, man, and just like that, his life is over, man, and there ain't no coming back, man. So with that, man, rest in peace, Cesar Diaz. And should I like to dedicate this show to him, man? Sometimes we do stuff on the fly, and there's one fly tip for you. Rest in peace, Cesar Diaz, man. Gone but not forgotten, bro. Legends never die, man. So saludos. Big fight, man, that we just missed, man. You had the Lomachenko versus Rigondeaux, man. Big fight, pound for pound. You know, it was a historic fight. You had two-time Olympic gold medalists, world champions, fear fighters in their respective divisions. They're going to fight at the theater, Madison Square Garden on ESPN. That's a big, big stage right there. Unfortunately, the fight didn't really deliver from what we expected or what we wanted, I should say. You know, because real, let's keep it real. If you talked about it, you knew it was going to be. If Rigondeaux would have won, it would have been a clinch fest, and may not have been the most exciting fight because, you know, he's done more on the defensive side, boxing and stuff. But point is, it was more about Salido, high tech, looked great, looked sensational, got the big, big win. I think the biggest thing from that is that Lomachenko propels himself up the pound-for-pound list, and the fact Rigondeaux kind of had a bad ending to the fight where he said he had broke his hand. Duval from Rock Nation says that he didn't break his hand. It was more of a fractured. I think you've heard people say it's more of a fractured ego. You've seen the memes by now. You've seen the fake GoFundMe accounts talking about heart transplants for the guy. And it's a rough sport, man. It's a sport of boxing. I think Rigondeaux was still a legend in his own right. You know, he made his own history. He became a world champion, you know, Cuban, was signed with Top Rank, won some titles. You know, he was Lomachenko before Lomachenko. You know, he was kind of like the first one, man. When he came out, that's what Top Rank built him on, you know, his, you know, Olympic pedigree, his amateur background and this and that. And they built him up. And, unfortunately, his fighting style didn't really garner the masses, but the diehards, the true boxing heads, they already knew who he was, and that's what it does, man. All boxing all the time. Pass to my boy, Montan.
Yeah, I think this was pretty much what this event ended up being for Lomachenko and Guillermo Rigondeaux. I think it's the ending of a peak for Guillermo and a beginning for Lomachenko. You know, Guillermo's tenure with Top Rank and Rock Nation, it didn't end. He never ended up having the star potential that he needed to have to reach that top business-wise. While on the other side, Lomachenko, same type of pedigree, probably opened a lot of doors on ESPN, seeing a lot of eyeballs, 1.7 million people watching him at one time, at one point. A lot of build-up, a lot of tickets sold, so it was a great event. On the other side of the United States, and at the Mandalay Bay, there was potential people that can fight against him, with Oegawa picking up an IBF World Super Featherweight title, beating in controversy, beating Tevin Farmer, Vargas winning a decision against Stephen Smith, and Miguel Roman ending Orlando Salido, which Salido came out today and said it might be a short term. Retirement. And also a little dark horse for any of those little fights that, that come in between is Dennis Shakhov and Rene Alvarado was a great fight. Even within that same house, how good would Chris Diaz versus Lomachenko fight be? So that Diaz got quite a few eyeballs on him, so his stock rises, as we did get to see Colin and Stevenson on that undercard as well.
Hey, the good and the bad, the part about taking a long time off or taking a break is you got to catch up. And right there, my man Montano just touched on a lot of different things. Big thing, that Ogawa, Tevin Farmer, obviously that was controversial. A lot of people felt Tevin Farmer won. I hope the IBF does the right thing, which they usually do because they're American and, you know, they try to abide by their rules. So more than likely, I could see that rematch happening, especially on HBO. It makes sense. Again, Luda Bella went off. A lot of people went off. So that happened. So that took a lot away from the main event, which was Salido versus Roman. Salido, Warrior, you know, had been off at the ring for a long time, kind of, you know, looked rusty. He showed that ring rust and touched the deck a few times. Roman got the biggest win of his career. I think he moves on from this. Salido's got Vargas. He'll always play the Warrior. He'll always play the tough guy to fight. So I think that retirement or brief retirement Montano alluded to could be just, you know, out of frustration. 37 years old, it's hard. Even if he would have won against Roman, he fights Vargas or he fights whoever, you know, Lomachenko rematch. I mean, there's fights there to be made. I mean, look at Lomachenko. I jokingly said it to Montano earlier that he, you know, Salido is still Lomachenko's daddy, right? Because that one win or that one loss is at the hands of Salido Roman. My man Montano also touched on Stephen Smith, man, and Vargas. How about that ear by Stephen Smith? And how about the Warrior that he is still wanting to fight with that ear? That shit was crazy. Ear hanging off. It was crazy. You know, you don't play boxing. That's a perfect example of that. You know, and it takes a lot of heart to get into that ring. And I think Stephen Smith showed that definitely 100%. Congratulations to Vargas. Congratulations, Stephen Smith. Even though you lost, you know, people, I think people seeing that medal you have, that heart or that corazon, bro. That's you can't teach heart, and he definitely supplied, you know, he's definitely displayed that because he was willing to fight even with his ear damn near hanging off. That was worse than Tyson, you know, accidental headbutt. Congrats to Rene Alvarado, get the biggest win of his career. You know, he's had a rough last year or two, you know, playing the B side, only 27 years old. You know, they probably brought him in as a B-side, and guess what? He got the win this time, and that's why sometimes, again, you don't play boxing, man. And Montano brought up a good point. You know, you had Lomachenko versus Rigondeaux on ESPN, and then what would happen a lot in boxing where they would compete against each other, or, you know, you had the Showtime versus HBO where they would fit these fighters or these cards against each other, which I hated. You know, we still hate, you know, like, we had it. If boxing heads had it our way, we would spread the shows out. Let's have one on Friday. Let's have one on Saturday. Let's have one on Sunday. It's a boxing weekend. We'd be fucking having a great-ass time, but they don't. It's still a business, so that kind of shit happens. But Lomachenko versus Rigondeaux was on a big stage, you know, New York, the theater, ESPN. Montano brought up the point of the viewers, but he also mentioned a point earlier as far as how, you know, the introduction or the lead way, the segue to that was the Heisman Trophy. You know, obviously America is a football-dominated country. You know, boxing for us, diehards, as true boxing heads, you know, it's a global sport, right? But they're not like, it's not like football, where even the Heisman Trophy show will fucking outnumber a lot of boxing cards and fucking shows. Like, that's how pathetic is that, right? That a big fight, like, say, Salido versus Roman, gets fucking overshadowed by a trophy presentation. But that's the kind of shit that happens, and that's why True Boxing Heads is here. You know, that's why we dedicated to the sport 100%, and we always will be. Just kind of wanted to touch that point. You know, shout out to HBO Boxing, trying to make up for what's been a bad year, and they're giving us these fights or trying to live up to them or give us some show. We hope that Billy Joe Saunders versus David Lemieux, the grudge match, lives up to it. If it does, hey, maybe we forgive you a little bit, man. There's so much news again to talk on. Real quick, obviously the Boxing Hall of Fame, they just announced a new class. You have Eric Morales. Congratulations to El Terrible. Shout out to Klitschko. And you heard him in the back. Winky Wright, man, one of the most avoided fighters at that time. And also Jim Gray and everybody who got inducted to the Boxing Hall of Fame class. You know, much love to you guys. You know, you are the backbone of the sport. And, you know, I've been out there to Canastota. You know, it's a pleasure to be out there. And I honestly might even make the trip for Morales because I said I would before he retired. This was back in the day when I was still in the Air Force. I was drunk one day at Margaritas. I'll never forget the place. And I told the owner, Javier, man, I love Morales so much that when he retires, I'm going to go to his fucking Hall of Fame induction. So here it is now. So fucking 7 years later, I'm getting put on the spot. So we'll see what it is.
Nah, Morales is someone that, you know, they're more likely to make fans than lose fans. You know what I'm saying? They're more likely to make more boxing fans than ever. Let's say Guillermo. Watching a Guillermo fight, he puts a lot of people off. It ends up being a walkout bout. Let me go back to the card for ESPN and some of the stuff that we got going on with HBO, too. Showtime streamed a card today and also streamed a card on Saturday where Khabib, what is it, Khabib, how do you say his name? Last name? Triu?
Caleb.
Yeah. Went over there to Europe, went to a back house against the Gal, which was, you know, highly touted. I went over there and beat him. Took his IBF belt, and is coming back home a world champ. That was something that I watched on live stream. I'm barely getting into the 2010s with technology. But that's the way that's with Nacho, what he was saying a little earlier, a lot of these things competing against each other. Entertainment in general is having to find different avenues of live streaming with DVIRs, being able to get the eyeballs at whatever time they can get them. So that's something that in the game is changing. We're getting iFights, any type of streaming services. So in 2019, I think that's something that is going to get even bigger.
You got Fight Night Live, you got streaming, you got YouTube, you got Facebook, you got Thompson Boxing showing their cards on Facebook, you got websites, just everybody streaming boxing. The more eyeballs we can have on the sport, the better. I think to tie it together, what ESPN did, or what Top Rank and ESPN are doing for a sport, it's a good look, it's a great look. More eyeballs on the sport. Golden Boy as well, good point. I see you, my boy Val, man. There's just so much to talk on, man. I love this. You know, I love the sport of boxing, and I love real people. You know, that's why we're doing the show live from Montana. I'll see you too, Miss Amber. I'm going to go live to you. But right now, I got to go live to my boy over there, Compa Uno. I'm not sure if he's still at work, man. What's going on, Val?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I just got a quick question. How can you get drunk on fucking boy. Margarita?
Oh, man. Oh, you put me on the spot, man. You said, how can I get drunk at Margaritas, huh?
The name of the restaurant was
Margaritas. It was a Mexican restaurant in St. Louis.
Okay,
it was the
okay.
only Mexican restaurant that would stream the fights. So I would go
all
there
right.
and watch every fight, and he would let me chill and drink and party. And it was me and there was like five of us, ten people that would come that were regulars. I was the only one in the Air Force that would go watch all the fights, and that was the name of his restaurant, Margaritas. But I would drink Bud Light and my shots, and you know how my drinks, my boy.
I know, bro. No más para cagar el palo, ya sabes. How's everybody doing?
Hey, we doing good, bro. Oh, man, say, how can you get drunk on margaritas? Hey, but what did you think, bro? I mean, I know you know, Val hit me up, you know, last week. He's like, hey, are we going to do a show? You got a big fight this week. You know, we did. You know,
yep.
We've had a lot of big fights in 2017. Unfortunately, it didn't live up, man. Colin looked good. He did his part. Shakur Stevenson shined. You know, good look. You know, got the fight across the pond, across the river. Him being from Newark, New Jersey, got the big win. And then you got, you know, Chris Diaz got the big win. He looked good. Lomachenko, right back up there, bro. But Rigondeaux kind of went out, bro. Let me get the Compa Uno breakdown.
You know what? It's like a lot of those big fights. It's so much hype, and a lot of times they don't meet the expectations, I guess. But I was kind of glad because I was rooting. I like both guys, but I was kind of going for Lomachenko. I'm not even sure why, but I like Lomachenko a lot. He has a lot of skills, and he's a lot of fun to watch. So I'm glad he won. I'm still waiting to see what actually did happen. We were just expecting a war, and none of that happened. It was just
true.
A lot of grabbing, a lot of hugging, his head was up by his nuts, by Lomachenko's nuts. It was sloppy, dirty, and I was watching it on my phone at work. I had to work that Saturday, but I wanted more, but I'm happy for Lomachenko because he is the goods. He learned a lot from the Sonsito fight, and the best guy won that night. So congrats to Lomachenko and the whole team and Top Rank, and they do have a star right there.
True. Hey, it was the ducking defense. It was he's too big for me. Remember, let's bring that point up a little bit, Val. He went up, he jumped up two weight classes. But I think he just realized real quick that, damn, today's not my night. You know, there's talks, people saying that he's really not 37, that he's really 40, that he always lied about his age. And he really did show his age right there. He almost looked like Cotto when he fought. He showed that age that night. Lomachenko is that good. I think people got to slow down just a little bit because they're already trying to say that he's going to kill Garcia and everybody else in boxing. They're already talking about him and Crawford. I'm like, whoa. Slow your roll, guys.
Yeah.
Is he top 10, pound for pound? Absolutely. But he's not the man in the sport of boxing. And, again, I'll say it to you, my boy, and you can bring it up. People forget, Salido already retired and unretired. Salido still has that win on Lomachenko. And yo creo que tiene esa espinilla. He wants to get that.
Of course.
I'm sure he wants to get that redemption.
Of course. But just one thing. I don't even think Lomachenko's at 130. I think he could still do 126 easy. He just moved up to, because there was no competition at 26. So he moved up to 30 to get a few different guys that could fight him. So it's...
Hey, man, he just opened a can of worms right now. I know, you're right. But what I'm saying now, that could start a whole nother show right there. Because he says 126, right? Well, they want him to go to 126 for Rigondeaux. So let's... Again, we got to keep it pushing because it's the makeup breakup show. It's the one shot, one kill. But there's so much stuff that can go on. Again, what I said earlier, Rigondeaux is still Cuban legend, did his thing. But it just when you said war, we expected a war. I don't think that's what we expected. I think what we expected was a boxing exhibition. I think we wanted that
a chess match,
Olympic, that Olympic style gold level matchup in a professional fight, a chess match, and we didn't get it. But we got is one guy boxing and doing his thing, and another guy saying, fuck. Let's be real. He only landed 12 punches. Let's bring up that point. We're not here to bash people. We don't try to do that a lot to boxers because, again, to get in the ring, you got to show a lot of heart. But my man supposedly said he broke his hand. Again, Duva said he didn't break it. It was just a contusion. He had a bruised ego, if you ask me. He only landed 12 shots. How the fuck is he going to break his hand? That's a whole other thing. Boxing has been great in 2017. Yeah, all that hugging. Wait, bro, what do you make of these memes and the pay for the heart transplant and all that shit, man? The world can be cruel, huh?
Oh, man. The one that I don't know who posted it, if it was you or Jose. Oh, man, you guys fucking... Oh, man, that was fucking golden right there. That was fucking gold, whoever posted that one. It was fucking hilarious. It's true. It's like... We just want something so we can start bagging on somebody. We're just waiting for somebody to fuck up or come up with something, and we're ready. The memes are ready probably before the fight. They're just fucking waiting for them to post that shit.
Hey, one of our hashtags is war ready. I think you might just create a new one, bro. Meme ready, bro. We're meme ready, bro. We're a meme ready world.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. But hey, guys, good talking to you guys. Let me... finish my day, and I'll get back to you guys. Maybe I'll call later on today.
Already, my boy. Hey, we're going to knock it out real quick, man. Much love. Shout out to the homie Val, one of the best photographers in the game, a friend to the team, a good guy right there, family. Much love, compa. Hey, true story. Hey, I think he brought up a good point as far as how we are meme ready. You know, people are just waiting for the fuck up. You know, that's just the world that we live in. And again, not to take away anything from Rigondeaux, he showed that heart. I kind of wanted to touch Miguel Cotto a little bit because that's Val's guy. You know, obviously we missed that one. I think from that we can say he showed his age, similar to Rigondeaux in that fight. One thing we can't do is we can't take away anything from Saddam Ali. Saddam Ali, that's his movie right there. He made a movie that night for himself. He won a world title in Brooklyn in front of his hometown crowd. He fought his fight and looked sensational and route to the unanimous decision win. Was it unanimous or was it split decision? Unanimous decision win. I had it 115-113. I think the judges had it right. I think the loser from that night was Jason Sosa. I think he got robbed. Gamboa, you got your gift, bro. I don't hear no complaints. You got your gift that night, bro, and the show goes on. And Oscar Negrete, even though he lost, he showed a lot of heart. We had him on the show before we went on break. He gave championship effort, and even though he lost, he gave a great account of himself. You know, Ray Vargas is just a real dude. He's just a real fighter. And I'm going to pass to my man Montano, and we have to go to Ms. Amber, another photographer out of Chicago. But shout-out to Val, man. That right there, that's the brother right there. That's the homie. I had to get him on a little bit, Mr. LBC, Compa Uno. But we'll go to Ms. Amber. I see you right now, and then we'll keep it moving. Shout-out to you, Mr. Sean Hicks, Mr. Tuesday. Shout-out to you. Shout-out to everyone. Shout-out to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, Miguel Cotto, you know, it's the end of an era that's good. Within the next year or two, we'll see a couple more pieces of that era finally call it quits. You know, you got Pacquiao reaching the end of the line. You got Mayweather, who today came out saying that UFC's offering him $1 billion for 3 or 4 fights. But it's an end of an era. And when we came back to talking about Morales, Winky Wright, those guys, Miguel Cotto's already etched his bust in the Hall of Fame. That fight, while it was a setup for Cotto to look well, Ali did his job and prepared and put himself in the best position to win. Showed up in good shape. One of the things that we don't, well, casual people really don't understand about the boxing game is these guys get, and it happens in the UFC as well, these guys get the physical advantage by drying themselves out, shrinking to a weight that most people can't do, and then ballooning back up within the next, 24, 36 hours to a weight where they feel strong and probably their natural size. So that night you saw Saddam Ali, who had legitimate boxing skills to begin with before the fight, step into the ring with an older 37-year-old Miguel Cotto, who was there with the exchanges, was there in the fight, started changing around what was around 7 when he tore his bicep, changed the way that the fight went. Ali took advantage of that and pulled the win out. Putting himself in line for a couple of big fights and really changing the perception of what was going on in his career after having lost to Jesse Vargas, really picked himself back up and now is a world champ. Look for him to start early 2018 with the big fight, either traveling to Europe to face one of those guys, or fighting probably an in-house guy as a tune-up for something bigger in the summer. But it was sad to see Cotto go out that way, but he did go out the way that you would like to see somebody, which is fighting back, even though they probably shouldn't.
Hey, you brought a great point as far as the whole injury, but the warrior that Miguel Cotto is didn't make any excuses, and I think that's why he'll always be remembered and always be loved by the people. Is because he fought everybody, never made excuses, and it was just a warrior, man. Obviously, he didn't fight Golovkin, but other than that, he fought everybody that was presented in front of him, and, shit happens. But he is a warrior. He's a legend, and I can attest to that. And he'll be, 5 years from now, he'll be in Hall of Fame as well. We'll be talking about that 5 years from now and how he was inducted and why he was inducted, because he's had some big wins, dominant wins, and I think we could have a Miguel Cotto show, man. He deserves that much love. He deserves that attention. He's a legend. But didn't make no excuses, man. And you're right. He fought a guy who fought back. Saddam Ali did what he had to do. And I'm glad I thought about it right now. I mean, that night, his coach, Saddam Ali's coach, he was on point. He gave the greatest instruction. At one point in the 7th round, when Cotto kind of tried to impose his will, he did impose his will, but almost tried to say that, hey, I'm the man. I'm the champ. You're supposed to take this L.
you know, I took this fight with you for a reason, motherfucker. You know, we're fighting for the vacant WBO title, but play your role. I know you might have been an Olympian and you're a prospect from Golden Boy, but slow your roll. And what did his corner say to Ali? Hey, this, you want to fight for a title? You want to win this title? You better dig deep now. And he did that, and he changed the whole momentum of the fight and got the win. And like I said, I was just saying that jokingly, but I mean that. He made a movie for himself that night. No matter what happens to him in his lifetime, we say it all the time on the show, once a champion, you're always a world champion. Saddam Ali. Last thing we want him to do is get knocked out in his first title defense, but that's what people say. Montano brought up a good point. He did get off the deck after getting stopped by Jesse Vargas, who, by the way, fights this week, Friday. He'll be fighting against Herrera. But he did. He made the adjustment. He even got touched a little bit, and he almost looked like he was going to be a chinny guy, but he dug deep. He dug deep. He balled down, and he got it, man. But back to the top, man. Shout out to Neil Cotto, who was loved by a lot of people. My man, Puerto Rico, Wepa, San Diego, Jose, John. My man Val loved him. A lot of people loved Miguel Cotto. That they wanted to cover everything. They wanted to cover the fight. They wanted to cover the event. And it's just what it is, man. There's a lot of sport news to cover, and we'll be going down the line. You got the World Boxing Super Series. You got the 2018 schedule coming ahead. You got the Saunders versus the New going down. But right now, I want to go live to Miss Amberman. She's loyal. She's we got to work, you know, linking her up with Mikey Williams and getting her to the homie Val's level. I mean, as far as work effort, she's already there. The quality of work is already there. She's covered a lot of those hits boxing shows out there. She's covered a lot of Chicago shows. She's a Chicago fight scene. I actually was texting her on Thanksgiving saying that I will be making a trip to Chicago, and me and her are going to kill it. And we're going to go out there, and we're going to wreck, and we're going to represent, and we're going to be true, and it's what we do. Hey, joining us now right here, Miss Madre Cuarta, Miss Amber. What's going on, Amber?
Hey, what's up, Mikey? Ignacio.
Hey, we've been going off a little bit talking. You got to hear Val. You got to talk to Lomachenko, Rigondeaux. We talked to Nick Conlon, Cesar Diaz passing away. Rest in peace. Miguel Cotto. I wanted to just show you a little love. I gave you the little intro. You know, you're deservingly intro because you are a G. You are a true. You are an asset to the team. But I just had to give you a little love. What does Miss Amber Williams want to talk about? The floor is yours, madame.
I guess the big thing for Chicago right now is Jessica McCaskill and Katie Taylor, which happened today.
Yeah.
So on the Chicago side, there was a lot of doubt going into this fight, and I'm sure that was like a worldwide thing that was felt. Everybody was just saying Katie Taylor's on a different level. You know, Jessica's older. She hasn't had as many fights, or she doesn't have as much tied to her name as like Katie Taylor does. But she went in there. People were saying it wouldn't go past five, and she went all 10 rounds. She wobbled Katie a couple times. She was just like always going forward. And I think that's something I noticed about like Chicago fighters, even though Jessica isn't from Chicago. Like Adrian Granados, for example, there's like other Chicago fighters. They like to push forward and like, you know, be really aggressive and, you know, can take a hit. I was surprised that Jessica was taking so many hits. I expected Katie to be like really strong, but I know Jessica's strong too, but I was like expecting more coming from that end. I was really proud of Jessica and Rick for even making that whole thing happen. And I thought Jessica did really good. And so, yeah.
True that. Good point, Miss Amber, coming through in the clutch. Shout out to Coach Ramos. Shout out to Jessica. They always support you, Boxing Heads. Always support Amber. Always support the team. You're right. They came up short. They made the trip out to London. A fight that was Showtime was shown on Showtime Facebook and YouTube channel was streamed. So we were able to watch it. She went on the road to fight Katie Taylor, who's highly regarded. You know, she's up there for the women's division, you know, top 10 pound for pound. I mean, she's up there. You know, obviously the women's boxing scene is not as deep as the men's, but it's making a push. Jessica was making a push. She won her regional title, I believe. What was it, the ABO title? What title did she win, Amber?
Yeah, she won the ABO Intercontinental Lightweight title.
Obviously, ABO is a regional title, nothing of significance or nothing too crazy, but she was stepping up to fight for the WBA title. She was fighting the fight for the lightweight title against Kelly Taylor, a fight that her and her team wanted, and they got. Me and Amber were actually talking about that before we went on the show. And, you know, they got it and they came up short, you know. But nothing to be ashamed about in the sense that they fought for a title. They made it to a world stage fighting in London. And, you know, you can, there's no shame in losing to a champion. You know, you fought in a championship fight, and like Amber said, she went the full 10 rounds. And there's nothing to be ashamed at in there. I think you can learn from it. You know, if she came out fairly unscathed and, you know, didn't sustain any injuries, I don't see why you start at 2018 and you make another push, another title run. You know, you make another effort at it. Hold on real quick, Amber. Let me pass to my boy, Montan.
Yeah, well, a quick thing that I wanted to say is in women's boxing, something that I see, they tend to have more series. They have, you know, best out of three, best out of four sometimes. So I think it's in her best interest not to give up on herself, go back in the gym, like Nacho said, and there's no reason why maybe in three or four fights they have a rematch and it can be a total different outcome.
Sure, you could even maybe do it in the U.S. Well, go ahead, Amber, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, like you were saying, make a push forward in 2018. Jessica is 33, so age will become a factor pretty soon. So I'm hoping to see her, like, just be more active. She's already pretty active, but to see her make, I guess, yeah, like you said, more pushes like this, get a few more fights and fight for the title again, it'd be nice to see.
Or fight for a different title. Doesn't have to be against Taylor. Ain't no shame. You know, by that point, you know, different things could be happening in their careers, and anything could happen. Speaking of female fighters, you got the face or the future face, the future possible face of the sport of boxing. Clarissa Shields is going to be fighting, defending her title in January. Obviously, we'll be talking about stuff like that as we go along, as we push on to 2018, and as we wrap up, we do the year wrap up show. You got another female fighting tomorrow, Marlene Esparza, former Olympian. She's going to be fighting on the undercard from Indio, California, ESPN2. It's going to be now headlined by Carlos Morales versus Darden Zunuad. That's because Diego De La Hoya failed to make weight, and Team De La Hoya and Team Salgado unfortunately couldn't come to terms. So unfortunately, that scheduled main event is completely scrapped. The card goes on, but not a good look for Diego, you know, coming off a big year for him. He had a big year. He had some big wins. He had some big, big wins. You fought Caballero. You turned into a contender. Not the way you want to go out this year. I hope there's something, you know, hopefully there's a story behind that. But one thing I will commend him is the fact that he didn't even show up to the weigh-in. Now, hear me out real quick, because I might take some shit for this, folks. He knew he was going to make weight, so he didn't show up. But you look at fighters like my boy Nahed, I hate to use him as an example, who showed up 12, 14 pounds over. Why even show up at that point? You know, I heard people say stuff at the gym when we were talking about it. Hey, fucking tell me your hand hurt. You know, maybe you don't want to lie. You don't want to do shit like that. But that's what it is. You know, point being, De La Hoya, not the way you want to go out. It was a big setup for you. You know, the stage was set for you. This is, you know, another ESPN card. You shine again and you prepare yourself to that title shot next. Unfortunately, the fight didn't happen. On the undercard, a lot of truths right there, a lot of guys that we've had on the show. The professor, Joshua Franco out of San Antonio, is going to be on that card. Jonathan Navarro is also on the undercard. You got Raul Correal, Espinoza Boxing, trained by Coach Manny and Edgar and them out there. You also got Broadway Boxing from B.B. King's out there in New York. That's going to be going down tomorrow as well. Or is it tomorrow? Yeah, going down tomorrow, Thursday. So you got a lot of different cards, man. A lot of stuff in boxing. You got these cards on Friday. You got these cards on Saturday. And speaking of that Broadway Boxing, former WBC champion, Dejan, the guy who Mikey Garcia knocked out to win his title, he's going to be headlining when he takes on Hevinson Herrera. And you got Jesse Vargas again fighting Aaron Herrera. It's going to be televised on Fox Sports 1. You got Diego Chavez. Y'all remember Diego Chavez in those fights with Tim Bradley, the Argentinian fighter. He's going to be fighting Jamal James. The best fight on that card from Lancaster, California on Fox Sports 1 on Friday, you got John Molina, the gladiator. Obviously, he's been on the show a lot of times, man. I'll never forget him and Hank Lundy getting at it. I think that's one of our most memorable moments, man. Word to Mr. Sean Hicks, man, who's listening in from work. I'll never forget that, man. John Molina, you know, he says, at the end of the night, when you lay your head on that pillow, it's John Molina 1, Hank Lundy 0. And fucking Lundy lost shit. He lost his mind. Well, he's going to be taking on Ivan Redkack in the co-main event. That's a big fight. It's a big fight. Those guys are fighting at 140 pounds, and that's a fight to look forward to. You got Alexander Povetkin. He's going to be taking on Christian Hammer out there in Russia. And again, as we talked about, can't overstate it, man. I'm looking forward to this card from Canada. David Lemieux versus B.J. Saunders. All boxing all the time. True Talk Radio, episode 123. Co-host for today, Mr. Montano, a.k.a. Diamond Hill. Shout out to Val, who joined us earlier. And right now I'm joined with Miss Amber over here, joining us live from Chicago. I gave her the introduction, and I meant that as far as she'll go a long way. We talked about that via text as well, that the opportunity is going to come because her work speaks for itself, and I had to get her on the show and just give her a little shine. Hey, Amber, before we proceed down the line, because we actually have somewhat of a game plan today, anything you want to touch on before we move around, or you want to hang out with us?
Yeah, I'll just hang out for a bit.
Cool, man. We're going to keep pushing, man. So we talked a little bit about the fights that we missed, the fights that we've covered, you know, just different stuff in the sport of boxing. You know, a lot of different things that are happening. Zab Judah, one thing I want to touch on that's not so much boxing news related, this is boxer related, is Zab Judah, man. He kind of going viral right now, got love from TMZ. He's showing that he's going to be a nurse. He's studying. I'm not sure if he's already doing it, but he's in class. He's doing that. He's getting love from his patients. People are loving him. I love the example that he's setting. And don't get it misconstrued. My man is not doing it for the money. From my understanding, he has his money saved up. He's just establishing himself as far as another career, a plan B. But more than anything, the reason why I wanted to touch on it is because I think that's a great example. You know, there's no shame in being an honest man. I've said that to different people, man, all the time. Man, everybody wants to be a superstar. Everybody wants to be a world champion. Everybody wants to be the million-dollar man. Everybody wants to shine. Everybody wants to be the man. Zab Judah was the man, and he came down planet Earth, right? He had to retire, or he's going to retire from the sport of boxing. Word is he still is training, but he's already in plan B. You know, obviously, Zab Super Judah has his crazy history, being from Brooklyn, being a street guy, all that. But the fact that he's put his pride to the side and say, you know what, I'm going to do this career and I'm going to do it. And guess what? Being a nurse in New York is not a badass job. They get paid not bad. You save your money, you can make another million, brother. That's how good of a job it is. So big up to Zab Judah. Shout out to him. You know, like Rene Alvarado earlier, who got the big win, Zab Judah deserves his props. He deserves his little star shine right there. He deserves that little prop, that little love right there. I know there was a lot of fights we didn't cover, you know, with the Kovalev getting a big win over the homie Chingonsky. Shabronsky, unfortunately, got let down a little bit there. But before everybody says that Kovalev is back, he's a monster, let's not get overexcited about it. It was against Shabronsky, who's 30 years old, who's been knocked out before. I would have much rather seen Sullivan Barrera versus Kovalev. I think that's the better matchup. I think that's what we're going to end up getting against Jesse Vargas fighting this weekend. True Talk Radio, episode 123. Keep it pushing. Pastor my boy Montano, what it do?
You know, I look at it a different approach with Sergey. While I within those few rounds, I know that the competition level was a lot worse than what it was with Ward. It's a clear hurdle that he jumped going out there and getting that mental game back up. Went in there within a couple of rounds and destroyed a kid that is still a professional boxer and had some decent wins himself, was a contender. Ended up probably his punch resistance ends up making him a pretender as it is in the top level of boxing. But Sergey went in there, went to the body well, let his hands go. So it was a good showcase for him already. And this is something that I talk about. It's the promoting part of it. Soon, right after the fight, not really knowing what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. They've already set something up for Kovalev, where he's fighting March 3rd. Whether it's Sullivan Barrera, which very well could be, or somebody else, it's good to see. And, you know, he picked up that belt that, that Ward gave up by retiring. He's right back into the mix of a heavy, heavily talent level, 175. There's fights to be made. I think in the long term, Ward is going to come back after some of these guys clear each other out and the cream rises to the top, as in who, you know, whether it be Sergey again or, you know, whoever knocks him out or takes that top position, Ward comes back and at least set himself up for another big fight instead of maybe having to try to make big fights within himself. It gets presented to him.
Hey, yo, one thing I want to touch on, you were talking Kovalev, man, and I want to talk about it because you said, hey, he picked up that belt that Andre Ward left vacant. And one thing I wanted to touch on because we didn't have the show is Max Kellerman and the commentators, they brought up a good point. For a guy who lost, he sure made a lot of life-changing things. You know, he found God again. He redirected his career to boxing. He stopped hanging out. He stopped partying. He did a lot of self-reflection. So with that said, is one thing that I've had that conversation and discussion with people is don't overlook Andre Ward for whatever reason. We've said it before numerous times on the show. He is hated for whatever reason. But if Andre Ward made all those changes, then there was a problem. And let's give Andre Ward the credit because he's seen the tank in the armor and he did what he did when he did it. You know, the chink in the armor, right? My bad. Thank you, sir. But he did, right? Point is that he seen that and he got the win and he went out on top. And Montano kind of said, he mentioned the word he used was, you know, cream of the crop. Mostyu, Sullivan, Barrera, Kobe. You never know. Let these guys fight each other and then whoever wins, come on, let's fight it. Fuck it. If Stevenson, that's the fight I wouldn't mind seeing. Since the word is out, let's watch Superman Stevenson, Adonis Stevenson, and Kovalev. Let's go at it. After all that talk y'all motherfuckers did, didn't even fight each other. Andre Ward, who gets hated on, steps up and takes the fucking challenge. Like, hey, what's up? Let's go. Now everybody wants to fight Andre Ward. Now everybody calls. Come on, man. Let's call it what it is. Boxing is a business. I understand that. But at the same time, we got to be real about things, and it is what it is. And speaking about real about things, you seen Luis Ortiz. He got the win. We had the discussion about the failed drug test, et cetera. WBC gives him a pass with an exception of fine. Pay 25 G's and we'll let you fight again. WBA says, nah, you're out with us. That boxing stuff that happens, you know, right? You know, sometimes it's a business, right? How do them fucking conventions, how do those trips get paid for? How does that beautiful green belt get made? It ain't cheap, man. It ain't cheap. It ain't fucking free. I know that much. Point is that Luis Ortiz is allowed to fight, reinstated by the WBC. WBA disallows him, or he's on rank now. Now, you know, but after the win, he fought, you know, he had that trash talking back and forth with Deontay Wilder, and there's talks that they're going to be fighting. And we were let down a little bit because that's one fight that we wanted to see that didn't come to fruition. Now it's going to be happening. I think it loses a little bit of the mojo that it had because it was supposed to lead us into where we're at right now in this time of year with the fights. Oh, another fight after fight. You got Ortiz versus Wilder, and then you got Lomachenko versus Reagan now. You know, we were getting kind of greedy there for a second there as boxing heads. We were getting fights after fights. Fortunately, some of them haven't, you know, given us the fireworks that we've expected or wanted. But it is what it is, man. Off boxing all the time. Real quick, man, I want to give out a few shout-outs. You got Ray's Boxing Club. I want to give a shout-out to them. Shout-out to Coach Manny Estrellita. Shout-out to Espinoza Boxing. Shout-out to Thompson Boxing. Shout-out to Top Rank Boxing. Shout-out to Golden Boy. Shout-out to Fight Night Live. Again, shout-out to Mr. Joe Rome. Shout-out to Mr. Sean Hicks. Shout-out to Jose. Shout-out Damien. Shout-out Lou. Shout-out Art. Shout-out Style, man. Shout-out Londo, everybody, man. But what I wanted to shout-out to is Real Talk Boxing, man, for the love, for the opportunity. My man Montano, he's going to be joining them this Sunday. At their end-of-year show. I've always had a relationship with Real Talk Boxing in the sense that they, you know, they've come to me and they've talked to me and the team and said, hey, man, you guys kind of, you know, influenced us to do what we're doing now and we appreciate y'all. And I've always thought that was deep and that was dope, man, because one thing I always say to people is all boxing all the time, but one thing I always say is what's true will always be real. It'll always be known. It'll always be understood. Like, you ain't got to fucking front like you're the man when you're not. know, you got motherfuckers talking about all the kind of crazy shit, but that's that street talk stuff, right? But point is I'm making is that you ain't got a front, man, and they've always show love, and, you know, they do their thing, we do our thing, but I want to, you know, tip my cap to them, my respect, you know, just give them a little plug, give them a little love, and shout out to the Reyes brothers, man, always, you know, tuning in to True Talk Radio and checking out for us, man, and showing love. I ain't going to be able to make it this week because I got to watch my Cowboys versus Raiders. And Montano is stepping in like a G and saying, hey, I got it. I got the plug. But, hey, hey, again, that's the only guy you know that'll pay for his ticket and do a write-up. Now, let's keep it 100, baby. Let's keep it all the way real. Keep it all the way true. Also, man, I want to give a shout-out to Grubbs Nissan. You know, my place of business. Anybody's in the market for a vehicle, hit us up at GrubbsNissan.com. We got new and pre-owned vehicles. Nissan Titans, Armadas, Pathfinders, Rogues, Muranos, Altima, Maxima, whatever you need. You need something inexpensive, I got a Sentra, I got a Versa. Whatever you need, we got. And we also got non-Nissan brands. But rather you're in Texas or out of Texas, y'all holler at me, man, I got y'all. I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Eric Grubb. Shout-out to my manager, Mr. Phil, Mr. Bronx, Mr. New York, representing. Came in through, man, and shook the house, man, shook the world. Came in through like a tornado at the place, brought a breath of fresh air, got us all feeling ourselves and doing what we do, man. Here we are doing what we do, man. True Talk Radio, episode 123, point being, man, y'all come holler at your boy at Grubbs Nissan, man. It's the plug. I tell people all the time, man, all boxing all the time, but selling cars pays the bills. And actually, man, here in a couple of weeks, man, it'll be my two-year mark, man. At this point, man, I think I'm dedicated to that car game, man, and just like I'm dedicated to the sport of boxing. You know, we just keep on pushing and we keep on moving. Looking forward to what 2018 has in store for me or it has for the team, you know, because, you know, I was having the conversation with Montano telling them we may take breaks, but we ain't never going to leave the sport, man. You know, we already have a game plan for 2018 and what we're going to do for you guys going forward. But it just ain't going to stop, man. I had to, you know, I kind of talked about the different locations where we had the show. From New York to Vegas. Right now we're doing it live from Montano's house. I never forget the first show we did. Now, I always say, I bring it up, you know, what the fuck we were doing. Richie Rich was there. Coach Vince was there. Tony was there. Gina was there. A lot of us were there. We're all kind of looking at each other. And kind of like what we do now, we just went for it. We just go for it. And I think that's why some people do what they do too. And I've said it before. Everybody has a show now. Everybody has their talking show. Everybody has their boxing show, and which is cool. God bless you. But again, if it's real, it's real. And if it's true, it's going to be no. But if you're just doing it for the wrong reasons, in the end, that'll show too. And if nobody checking for you, then that's what it is. And I've said it before. If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. And you just keep it moving like that, man. It's True Talk Radio. I see you, Montana. I know you got something. You've been going through your whole computer screen for a little bit. What you got, my man?
Nah, I'm just, you know, there's so much boxing going on every single week. And, you know, we get to talk to a lot of these guys, and I'm looking forward to some of these. We're going through an era change where even guys that are fighting tomorrow on this undercard, you know, one of the great things that I love about True Boxing Radio is being able to talk to these guys that are up and coming, that are under the radar, that are bubbling, that most people don't know about, and give them an outlet so they can prepare themselves for a bigger stage. And to be a part of their little story and a part of their career, you know, I'm grateful to Nacho for giving me that outlet, and I hope to run with it. You know, I appreciate y'all showing love and even being looking out for us. 2018 is going to be just like 2017, if not better. So it's good stuff headed around the corner, man.
If it's Don Perignon, it's supposed to bump. Word to PMC and UGK, man. Truth Talk Radio. It's true, man. We appreciate everybody that checks for us. And we're going to be coming strong. We're going to keep coming on. It ain't going to stop, and it won't stop. Dedicated to the sport of boxing. And True Boxing has pretty much changed my life, man. You know, I've met a lot of amazing people. I've made a lot of great relationships. And it's the best thing that I could have did, and I'm glad we do it because, again, ESPN, they show love to football, baseball. They already show the boxing. I'll jokingly tell people that don't know nothing about boxing or True Boxing is, and they'll ask, so what do you do? I'll be like, man, we can do anything from marketing, promoting, managing, whatever you need for the sport of boxing and fighters. But I was like, if I were just to break it down to you in one nutshell, man, we could be like the ESPN just reporting of boxing. Because that's all we do. Just like ESPN does all sports, we do boxing. Whether it's Amber covering fighters in Chicago, covering Hits Boxing, if it's Val at the Forum, if it's Carlos Rivera at the Lucas Matisse press conference, if it's the homie Mig in Brooklyn, if it's Montano at the show at the OK Corral, if it's your boy going to Brooklyn, whatever the case is, man, that's what it's about, man. All boxing, all the time, and we're going to keep moving. World Boxing Super Series, we'll touch on that here in a little bit. I want to go to Ms. Amber. Ms. Amber, you chilling in the cut? I want to give you the – I want to pass you the mic. I know you feel a little comfortable. What you got for me, baby girl?
Something that I think is exciting in boxing right now is I guess Tyson Fury is returning in January. I'm excited to see what happens in the heavyweight division. What was the last fight? Wilder versus – I don't even know how to say that guy's name. But Wilder's last fight and Ortiz. And then they're a little back and forth. And now we have Tyson Fury coming back. So I'm excited to see who clashes amongst the top heavyweights.
True, good point. Tyson Fury is back, and, you know, his trash-talking game is immaculate. His talking game is impregnable. You know, it's Mike Tyson-ish with it as far as the way he talks. We'll see. He'll be right back in the thick of things, and I think the fight that Ms. Amber was talking about was Wilder destroying Bermain Stiverne, killed it, highlight reel, was killer knockout. That was supposed to be Luis Ortiz's fight. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but you're right, man. Wilder looked sensational. He played the part, the rematch. Did not go the way a lot of people expected. You know, Stiverne was the only guy that had gone the distance prior to that. He destroyed him. Wilder looked like the man. And, yeah, she's right, too, as far as the whole Luis Ortiz fiasco and stuff. So we'll see what happens. You got Anthony Joshua, Wilder happening. So, you know, heavyweight division definitely could be popping. And,
Joshua
versus Parker's happening. Go ahead.
I was going to say, my favorite personalities right now in boxing is Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Like, they're exciting. They keep me entertained, definitely, with the talk.
Definitely. We mentioned it briefly. You know, Jeff Horn gets the TKO over Gary Cochran down in Brisbane, Australia. Battle down there, down under. It was shown on ESPN. And, you know, the talk is, people are already talking about the setup. Hey, Terrence Crawford is ready to horn in the champion in 2018. Because guess what? Terrence Crawford moved up to 147. And, you know, Terrence Crawford will be right there waiting for him. You know, we talk a lot about different fights, fighters. You got Spitz fighting Peterson. That's another fight that could happen, very well happen in 2018. Because one thing that the fans, we talked about earlier with Val, he said meme ready, right? We're ready for the memes. One thing we're also ready to do is make fights. Golovkin versus Canelo, a lot of the reason why it was made was because of the fans. You know, Wilder versus Joshua, the reason why it's going to happen is because of the fans. You know, and that's one thing that, you know, we do talk a lot of shit, fans, and, you know, back and forth. You know, we could be rough on our sport of boxing. We're probably some of the roughest fans in the sport to their sport. You never hear football fans say, fuck football, fuck baseball, stuff you hear in boxing right now. Fuck boxing, I'm done with boxing. It's corrupt, it's cheated, I hate it, I'm never watching it again. And what do? We come back. It's like that dirty girl, boy, that just fucking does it for you. Kika. Sorry, Amber, love you, by the way. But you know what I'm saying? That's the point, that boxing is like that to some, that what one thing that us fans or the social media does give us is the opportunity to make fights. So that is one fight that could happen. Spence versus Crawford. Man, that right there is a boxing head's dream right there.
I was going to say something that I saw online earlier is somebody was saying that the Tevin Farmer fight against Ogawa, like, that was kind of a setup because now Gervonta Davis is the mandatory for Ogawa. So they were saying it was set up so that Tevin Farmer just couldn't have it, and, like, Gervonta Davis was probably not going to fight him. Like, do you think there's any truth to that?
Well, you know, like you say, like Nacho was saying, you know, there's so many little subplots and people got. That's the one thing that I love about boxing is everybody's got their little team, so everybody's in everybody's ear, you know. So to believe that that can't happen, that'd be a little naive because it happens all the time. Yeah, it's definitely something that's possible. But also the one thing that I did see about that fight, you know, I watched it. I had Farmer winning. I definitely could have been influenced by HBO and their commentating, though. Quite a few of the Twitter feed that I saw was a lot closer than most thought than the first time seer a viewer of that fight saw it. While defense can win fights and stuff, you know, sometimes it might overshadow someone's offense and the actual way that the fight got that the fight actually went. So I'll be honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch just so we get a clear winner, because that is for a world title, and then the winner get a big fight after that.
My man Montano said like a first time seer, first time fight seer. He comes out with a new word right there, and I think the original title or the title that they put out there is Crawford ready to horn in on the welterweight division. That's what Top Rank is putting out there to the world, just letting it be known. I kind of talked about it a little bit with Carlos Rivera. Shout out to Mr. OG, man, always out there. Mr. Fullerton, Mr. Texas El Paso, who made the move from El Paso to Fullerton and says California was the best thing he could have done. He was out there for DeLucas Matisse versus Karam fight announcement and Jorge Rinales versus Gesta. That's going to be happening January 27th at the Forum following January 20th, Spitz versus Spence. Is actually a doubleheader, WBA. It's a WBA doubleheader that night at the Forum. I'm probably not going to make it out there. Hopefully somebody from the team does get out there and make it. Shout out to Mr. Joel Diaz. Shout out Lucas Matisse, Gesta, Mr. Freddie Roach. Shout out to Mr. Robert Diaz, always showing love. Hey, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about that as that fight glooms, but don't sleep on Karam, man. Thai superstar, 38-0, 28 KOs. This is the setup for Lucas Matisse. Hey, you know, you've been a WBA champion. We want to get you right back up there. We want to get your title. This is not the easiest way, but fairly is, because Thai is unknown, but that record on wax, 38-0, 28 KOs, that's something to not overlook. And Mercito Gesta, No Mercy Gesta, has been on a run, a blade, has been on a tear, 31-1. 17 KOs. Don't sleep on him as he challenges for the world title against Jorge Linares, who, let's be real, is not unbeatable in the sense that we've seen him get beat, and then actually we've seen him in close fights, and anything could happen. Real quick, man, just want to give you, you know, we talked about Diego De La Hoya not making weight. Just want to give you official weights from the card itself. Carlos Morales is now the main event. They're going to be fighting for the vacant NABA super featherweight title, taking on Darden Janoud. From Los Angeles, 14-3. You got Ryan Caballero from Coachella, California. He's going to be fighting Frank Gutierrez on the card. Both of those guys came in at 125. You got Raul Creer. I mentioned that earlier. You got Joet Gonzalez, who came in at 125.8. He's going to be taking on Aso Carraza. 8-round featured attraction. Joshua Frankel, we talked about him earlier, the true right there, San Antonio, Texas, 12-0, 16 KOs, came in at 114.6 pounds, fighting in the super flyweight division versus Carlos Maldonado from California, 9-1, 7 KOs. And in the welterweight division, you got Jonathan Navarro, 11-0, came in at 141.8, taking on the veteran Nelson Lara. You done seen that guy fight everybody and his mama. We done seen that guy all over the place in San Antonio. But there he is right back as an opponent, bringing in the stage. Speaking of weight, it looks like I've been saying that this Broadway boxing card was going to be headlined by the former WBA champion, Dejan Zanaclaw. I can't pronounce his name. He was trained by Mr. Benavidez. He came at 139.4, taking on Heavenson Herrera at 137. That's actually not the main event. The main event is Brooklyn native Wesley Ferrier, 12-0, 7 KOs, came in at 135.8, taking on Will Madera from Albany, New York. That's actually the main event. Hey, man, shout out to Lou DiBella, DiBella Entertainment, always putting on that show out there from the legendary B.B. King Blues Club and Grill. I find myself, I just had a deja vu. When we started True Talk Radio a few years back, I would talk about that B.B. King's and that famous low. And they actually took, you know, small venue, not a bad seat in the house, and shouted Lou DiBella out then for doing that. You know, that's just that New York shit, right? You know, you're out there watching a fight at one of those venues. It's almost like going to a fight in L.A. at the StubHub. There's just certain boxing heads, as a true, you already know there's certain things that you're going to do and you got to do. If I'm in New York, I'm living in New York, guess what I'm doing on a fucking Thursday? I'm going to the B.B. King's and watch some goddamn fights. You see some hell of fights out there sometimes. Sometimes those are the type of fights that put on the best events, kind of like, you know, the Foxwoods in Connecticut. You know, we talk about Ward and Gotti. The Mandalay Bay, there's places that have that aura, that have that always come through. They just, it's just that stage where fights happen and the magic happens. And, you know, it's been a great year for our sport. Again, this is not the year-end show. You just had to get right back on the ball. It was a pleasure. I appreciate everybody who tuned in. We're going to start wrapping it up here shortly, but I do want to shout out for the people who joined us today. I mean, joined me live on the show, my man, my co-host for the day, Montano. Mr. Compa Uno, Valentin Romero, a.k.a. Compa Uno, Ms. Amber right now, hanging tight from Chicago. We just had to get right back on the ball. There's a lot of stuff we're going to talk about as we do the end-of-year show, that we can cover the whole year in a nutshell. We can go into detail about all the other stuff, about the up and downs. We can actually cover the whole fucking year and just run it like that. We just wanted to cover that little gap that we missed here and there. You know, again, we're out from 3 weeks, from fucking a month. Let's keep it real. We missed a month of a show. But the last show, man, was an amazing show. Oscar Negrete fought for the WBC title, came up short on the Cotto Ali undercard. But you know what? There's nothing to be ashamed about, because the heart he showed, that fight was way better than the Ronnie Rios fight. Oscar Negrete showed heart. He showed balls of steel. The little guy, the little dude fighting the big dude, throwing chingazos, throwing power bombs, throwing bombs on that ass. And landed a few times and made it a fight, you know, fucking little Billy Goat action, cut up Vargas in both eyes, shit, it got interesting. You know, he was in there, but word to Jaguar Oscar Negrete, who joined us on the show last. Shout out to the WBC champion, David Benavides, who was on the show then, to Gabe Flores. This time out for episode 123, we didn't do no guests, just the homies, just the team, some of the team. Shout out to Joe Rome being an asshole, fucking talking shit via text, fucking asshole. Shout out to Miss Stacey V, who was actually out there in New York, man. She was actually out there for the Cotto Ali. She was out there for like a month covering all those fights, man. Big up to them. But again, this show, we didn't want to have no guests. We just kind of want to get right back on the ball, and we'll set that up. Montano kind of talked on it as far as how the layout of the show is. And by now, if you listen to the show, you already know the setup. Hey, one time, man, for my boy Giovanni Santayan, El Gallo de Oro, San Diego, California, who closed out the year on the Thompson Boxing Card with the win. I look for big things from you. In 2018, man, you made a splash. You know, you fought on Boxeo Telemundo. You got the win. You got the NABO title. So you're right there. Remember, we had him on the show, and remember, he wants a shot at Jeff Horn. You better get Jeff Horn, bro, because I don't know about Terrence Crawford, my man. But even then, you know, I know one thing. He's going to show more heart than some of those other fighters. I know that for a fact. He's proven that. And it's True Talk Radio, episode 123. You know, Canelo versus Triple Rematch. You know, it looks like it's closer and closer to being made. I wouldn't doubt if that's, you know, announced within the next week or two. Or, you know, maybe wait, Christmas gift. That'd be a great Christmas gift for the boxing fans. Or wait to the new year. Either way, you know, the sooner the better. You know, that way everybody can start booking their flights and shit, because, hey, we're going to do it back just like we did this last time. Last time it was amazing. And I actually had a talk with somebody today at work, and they brought up a good point. Hey, man, now that they felt themselves out, the second fight might be what the first fight was expected. So it might deliver, you know. And we're going to talk about that on the closeout show, because I kind of alluded to it a little bit about the drop-off, the letdown, et cetera. But we'll get to that, man. But don't forget to follow the team, man, True Boxing Heads. Check us out, TrueBoxingHeads.com. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Fucking anything True Boxing Heads, look it up. anything True Boxing has, man, just follow up, show love. I'm passing to my boy Montano, and keep it moving, and we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, just to give you a little insight on some of the fights, of course, like we were talking about December 14th, which is tomorrow, Thursday, Diego is off the card. Carlos Morales steps up as the main event. You also got a card that Friday, Friday on Fox Sports 1 and Fox Deportes from Lancaster, California. Jesse Vargas fights Aaron Herrera. Aaron Herrera has been around the block with a couple of top guys. I think he fought Alvarado and Brandon Rios. Diego Chavez comes after a lengthy layoff. Is going up to junior middleweights, fighting Jamal James. Both of them looking to further their careers as probably the B-sides or looking for bigger fights. John Molina comes back from his loss to Terrence Crawford, fighting Ivan Redcat. Good styles matchup. Both face first guys. That's going to be the fight of the night. You also got Otimoso fighting Freddie Hernandez. Freddie Hernandez, his biggest win, as he beat Angulo. He's actually coming off of that win. And then you got it's a real big card, as in showing a lot of the Olympians and ring star signees that they got. And that brings us into also from Russia, Alexander Povetkin fights Christian Hammer. Povetkin's trying to put himself back in a position where he gets a heavyweight title fight. And pretty much the end of the year ends on Saturday, December 16th, from Quebec. HBO has the grudge match, which should live up to expectation. Billy Joe Saunders fights David Lemieux in 12 rounds for the WBO middleweight title. With Antoine Douglas fighting Gary Spike O'Sullivan. O'Sullivan was just seen on ESPN a couple of months ago, so should be fresh on people's mind. Cletus Seldon also coming in on a short notice, but just off of a big win on HBO, opens back up. On that undercard, you got the local suspects that are coming up. Ryan Garcia gets another 8-rounder. Had a very busy year this year. You got Stephen Butler fighting a local warhorse, Leonardo Tyner from Detroit. And even from Mexico City, you got Bien Sports Español, Silvia Torres versus Brenda Flores in a 10-round junior flyweight. That'll probably end the year for big boxing. There was always every year there's always a card in Japan on December 30th, 31st. That's going to end up being one of our bucket list events one day. Keep stacking that money and maybe we'll get to. On the 31st, we should be seeing from Tokyo, Milan Melendo fighting some guy that I can't say. His IBF and WBA junior flyweight, 12 round. You also got a strawweight title. Always got the little guys coming out there, and they never disappoint. So there's definitely some stuff to finish off the year coming quick.
Hey, my man, I've been waiting for him to say this shit. I heard him say it, but I wanted to jump in, but I wanted to wait till he finished. He used the word local suspects. I think he meant usual suspects, like the movie or local prospects or, you know, that word. But point is that he went down the schedule and brought up a great point in the sense that you're right, man, there's a lot of fights that are going to be happening. One thing we didn't touch on was the World Boxing Super Series. I kept saying I was going to touch on that. Obviously, we're down to the semifinals. The big takeaway from that is, are they going to get a TV fight? Are they going to get a TV network game? And that's interesting because a lot of those fights were interesting matchups. You know, we got to cover some of them. Shout out to Junior from San Antonio. Shout out to Meg. Got to cover the one in Newark. A lot of those cards, there were Latvia, you know, I think the city of Latvia, right? There, that's where the Breedis fight and the Breedis and – and Morat Gassov, there you go, fucking Val's guy, they're going to be fighting out there. There's a lot of different matches, but this Groves versus Eubanks, the fact that the UK showdown sold out, that was interesting. One thing I didn't touch on, you know, that Montano brought up earlier was the fact that, you're right, James DeGale lost, man. UK boxing was riding on a high. They took an L in that fight. The Minnesota native, Caleb Twas, got the unanimous decision win, deservingly so. And was it unanimous or majority? Point is, he got the win, captures IBF title when nobody wanted, you know, nobody gave him a shot. Now he's in the thick of things, and guess what? He earned himself. Not only did he become a world champion and make a history for himself, he's about to earn a payday because he's got a belt, and it's what it is, man. True Talk Radio, episode 123. Again, shout out to the team. I see my man. Before we start wrapping it up, man, I'm glad he actually called in. He's known for talking shit. I jokingly say it all the time, but to me, that's my big brother. That's my homie. That's the photo guy. That's the bodyguard. That's everything. At some point, we had to do a True Talk Radio show and have the whole team out. Montano, Joe Rome, you know, talking shit about Montano being an ass kisser, being all this and that. He's a crazy motherfucker. My boy Joe Rome, what it do, my boy?
What's up, everybody? What y'all doing? Y'all killing it. Y'all killing the last names on these boxes, bro. That's what y'all killing it. Y'all pronunciation.
Hey, that's the difference between fucking Bernardo Osuna and fucking Montano from Diamond Hill and fucking Lancho from Northside. You're right, bro. That's why I tried to say certain names, but you're right. Hey, baby. Hey, but on the cool, man, he was going through that schedule on the fly. But you're right, a lot of those names, bro. Hey, but just goes to show you, man, that boxing is a global sport, bro. You know, a lot of different names, a lot of ethnic, you know, names and accents and shit that we can't roll by. But I bet you if he was a Rodriguez or a Benavides, we'd have that fucking shit down pat, my boy. But what's going on, man? Joe Roman, thanks for joining us, bro. Man, how long has it been since your ass been on True Talk, bro? It's been about a year or what?
I think I was on show number one.
Nah, you were.
I haven't been back.
Asshole. You haven't been back since, huh? I think the last episode was like episode 9. Yeah, hey, Joe Rome, you're breaking up, bro. Hey, bro, you're breaking up, bro. Hey, you're cutting out, bro. Hey, man, I had a great time with this fucker this weekend. He was out there DJing, got to kick it with him a little bit. Hey, we covered all kind of news in the sport of boxing, different shit. Hey, bro, before we wrap it up, man, you got something or something you want to touch on or something you want to say, Cabrón?
Pretty much. I just caught him flying real quick. It's been a crazy, crazy, crazy year in boxing. But the Canelo Triple G fight, man, that was my moment of this year. It was an event. It was a huge event, amazing event. I had an extra time. Great people out there, meeting great people. I mean, it was a blast. It was fucking. It rocked. I never seen so many Mexicanos ever in my life in one place. And that place was rocking. You know, Montana didn't see. He was asleep. But you know how that goes.
true. Party boy. Hey, you brought up a great point, bro. I think that was legendary, bro. You brought up a great point for us, for you, for what we did that time. That was, bro. And I talked about it a little bit on the show. But you're right. Maybe we talk about that at the end of year show. My boy Joe Rome with a quick cameo. Bringing it on. Shout out to him. Closing out strong. True Talk Radio episode 123. As we close down, we come down to the final 10 minutes. I'm just going to do a quick little round table. Miss Ambers, who's been holding tight, hanging tight out there in Chicago. I'm going to pass it to you, baby girl. You want to give out those social medias or any final words or anything you want to do before we start wrapping it up, Amber?
First thing, I just want to say thank you, Ignacio, for that introduction because I never said that. So thank you for that introduction. You were the first person you were the first one who made it possible for me to shoot professional fights, and you got me into this, so thank you for that. Follow me on social media. It's Madre Criatura, Mother Creature. Like, follow me. Send me some likes. Help me get some clout so I can advance this photography career.
Already. We're eventually going to have an off photo. I just had a random idea when you said that. You know, I get... You know, you saying thanks and stuff and all that, I appreciate it, but it's not about that because at this point you made a name for yourself and you're putting in the work and you're doing it and you're going to do it because you're only place to go up is up, but your work ethic is there. But we need to set up some type of photo shoot show. We got Mikey, we get Mikey Williams, we get Joe Rome, we get Amber, we get Val, we get Carlos, we get Meg, we get all the photographers on the fucking show. Fuck it, we get Tom Hogan, we get Stacey Verbeek, we get everybody on the show. There's going to be Photographers Roundtable, True Talker Radio, episode 200, whatever the fuck it is. It could be 185, whatever. We'll talk True Talker Radio 123. Thanks, Amber. I had to give you some love. Now make sure to follow her, show her some love. Hey, Montano, I'm going to pass it to you, my boy. Appreciate you as always, man. It's good to have you on. Again, shout out to Val who joined us earlier. But, hey, man, before we wrap it up, man, what you got? Any final words? And stop fucking up names because fucking Joe Rogan call us out.
Now, the minor joke. Be on the lookout, even though it's Christmas time. Be on the lookout for some fight announcements. One thing that I am noticing a little bit with people contending for dates is it really takes to the promotions and the boxing companies that are getting into this industry, whether new or old. They're setting up their business plans a little bit better. Making sure that they let the consumer know about these events. So people are starting to pick their dates and put them out there. Quite often I see, especially with local promotions, and I do see it with bigger promotions, kind of sitting on dates and not announcing till 6 weeks out, 4 weeks out, not knowing what their main event is. The reality is you got to build the product so you can give it to people and build suspense and make it an event. Be on the lookout for some announcements. You will be hearing one way or another, Triple G Canelo. You'll be hearing some news by the end of this month. I truly believe that there is possibility that this weekend shows us if Canelo fights Triple G for the rematch or fights the winner of this fight. So be on the lookout for some announcements for early 2018.
Hey, the reality is that we're going to be waiting for the announcement of some fights, some bullshit. I hadn't heard that in a minute. That's my boy right there, Montano. Hey, but it is fight week, guys. You got Saunders versus Lemuel. You got Jesse Vargas. So you got some cards. Obviously, Montano went down the schedule, but can't overstate it. HBO triple header, Tuan Douglas, big up to him, overcoming a lot in his life. He gets the big opportunity, big stage, big chance, co-main event, pulling for the homie, True right there. Hey, actually, that would be a good little interview right there. We need to get him on the show, True Talk Radio, so we can add him to the list of guys that go on to become champions after the fact because he's got a shot. He's a legit fighter. He's legit in the mix, and it's all True Talk Radio. Hey, Joe Ron, before I wrap it up and we close out for the day for Soul, what you got, my man? You got anything you want to touch on or anything you want to go on, my boy?
Oh, man, with boxing, y'all got everything covered. I ain't got nothing to say about boxing. 2018, hey, y'all look out for that World Cup coming up in 2018 in Russia. Maybe, you know, Beltran's USA team is out. You know, Arnie, my boys, his Holland team is out. Y'all look for that World Cup 2018. Mexico's going to do it this year, baby.
Hey, ole, 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 ole. Hey, well, I will say this. In 2017, I got into soccer a lot more than I ever have. You know, from going to Vaquero games to watching Mexico game to watching America, all that shit. You know, I got into it a little bit more. Big out to my boy Joe Rome. Shout out to everybody again, man. I can't overstate it. You know, this is not a one-man show. It's not a one-man band. It's a team effort. We all put in work. We all do different things. And shout out Jose, Damien, Lou, Art, Mig, everybody, man. I could go on down the list, down and down. And again, shout out to everybody who has their own show, does their own thing. Again, we've been doing it now for a few years. We may take breaks here and there, but the form or the consistency of the nutshell, what we do stays the same. You know, it's about the sport, about these fighters. We show them love. We bring them up. We give them shine. They love that shit because sometimes, you know, we get them ready for the next level. HBO Showtime, baby. Before you get on that Showtime, before you get on that Sirius satellite with Charlamagne the God, you got to get on that True Talk Radio with Nacho Montano and Joe Rome, man. It's a pleasure. You know, can't overstate it, man. We say it all the time, man. All boxing all the time. The Real Unite, True Boxing Heads, True Talk Radio, episode 123. Do not sleep on these fights that are happening in the next few days. You got some fights tomorrow on ESPN. Again, Diego De La Hoya fight fell off, but you got a card on ESPN2 that you can watch. You got Fox Sports 1 on Friday, and then you got the HBO card, the big one, man, on Saturday. We might need to do a fight party somewhere. Since the Lomachenko, Reagendahl didn't deliver, surely Lemieux versus Saunders is going to deliver. One thing that's guaranteed is that them fools, somebody's going to get dropped. Somebody's going to get hurt. Those guys are big. They're not 122, not 130 pounders. These guys are 160, legit guys fighting for a WBO title. They're going to go in there, and they're going to let them bang. And they're going to throw shots. They're going to throw bows. And all that trash talking on Twitter, Instagram, you're a pussy. I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to kill you. You're going to need, guess what? You got to get it done in that ring. And that's the beauty of the sport of boxing. You can't talk your way to a championship. You can't talk your way to a better life. You got to go in there. You got to get it done, and you got to fight. And that's why we love the sport of boxing, and that's why we true boxing heads, and that's why we keep representing, and that's why we true to the game. And on that note, man, we out, man. Again, follow us on all social medias, True Boxing Heads, True Talk Radio. And one time for the old school Wolski, you know I got to hit you with it. We started with the Tres Animales, Mexicano style, one time, like the beanie, my boy Montano rocking, Julio Cesar Chavez. Julio Cesar Chavez. Julio Cesar Chavez, that Mexican, right? That Mexican style. Speaking of Mexican style, I got to hit up Chicago with Amber. We're going to hit up the Mexican side of town. And we're going to do it. And we're going to represent. And we're going to close out for the night with the evening with the old school Wolski. And we out, man. True Talk Radio. True, baby.
Trae muchas ganas de darme pa' abajo, que me di la cara. Yo como quiera lo atiendo, como quiera le entro y no traigo más nada. Yo solito le hago frente y atoro a la gente que manda al contrario. Se me está haciendo costumbre matar dos o tres de los que matan diario. Este día no lo recibo porque a domicilio seré una consulta. No quiero tantos pacientes porque mucha gente se muere sin culpa. Bien dicen que en el negocio siempre son los socios que te traicionan. Cuando sale muy buen queso que vale alto precio y la vaca es talona. Pero soy toro encartado y se van a tragar lo que me salga ahora. Mi abuela, que eran importantes. Que no te llene de plomo si nosotros somos narcotraficantes. Para mi remordimiento, de veras que siento darte un gran regalo. ¿Qué color quieres la caja? ¿Te gusta plateado del color dorado? No se te olvide en el viaje llevarle el mensaje a tus ex pistoleros. Que no les quede la duda que yo con las viudas como me divierto. Ya con esta me despido, me llega un pitido que es como una bomba. México, Estados Unidos, Panamá, Perú, Venezuela y Colombia. Ya están directos conmigo Cuba y Puerto Rico. Los tengo en la bolsa.